Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. Ah, from my hometown of Canton, Ohio, the OJs. Part of the music theme today is William Powell, one of the singers for the OJs, born today in 1942. 2 o'clock today, we wrap up, then we hand over to pregame coverage of the NFC title game, Rams at the Saints, 3 o'clock kickoff, 3:05 kickoff, 6:15 pregame, 6:40 kickoff, AFC title game, all of that action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. On the eve of the Team Have Not takeover for tomorrow, it will be myself and Rob Tribble on the morning show. It's going to be Harper and Chris Goforth on the midday show. Hawks basketball, that gets going at 2:30 pregame, 3 o'clock tip. And I think Dwayne Walker's after the game. Somebody like that. I don't know. Somebody. Vexing. I don't know. Somebody's on after all the game. Streaming online. Brian's got the first couple hours of the show posted up there. He wants a good grade, so he'll just keep working. He feels better today, so he's going to get all that online for 8929thegame.com. You can download your radio.com app. That way you can listen to us live, local, anywhere, anytime, any device that you've got. If you want to be part of our social media life, all of it is at 929thegame. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Grindr, Tinder, Bumble, Match, MySpace, Farmer Hookup, you know, eHarmony, Lava, whatever. Whatever your proclivities are, we've got it all at 929thegame. I am on Twitter if you want to follow along with me and all my shenanigans and nonsense. All of that is at JMCH316. Now, normally at this time, in the final hour of the show, we do something called Pick Randy's Brain, but Brian wanted to turn the tables on me, and he not only wants to do it, but he's got a paragraph, so we will call this segment Pick Chuckery's Brain. By the way, it will be the two-man power trip of Stone Cold Chuckery, the Georgia Rattlesnake, and the Cerebral Assassin, Rob Tribble, with our guy, Brian the Dragon, Gebhardt, producing.
Yeah, this music seemed much more appropriate for Pick Chuckery's Brain. So,
give me a hell yeah.
You know, this is something we do once in a blue moon, probably, I think, twice ever in history when Randy's out riding scooters in California or whatever he's doing. But 10 questions for the captain of hashtag Team Have Not.
Co-captain. Rob and I.
I'll give you, he's co-captain?
Yeah,
okay,
Rob
well, you're captain for today. This is my paragraph. So, all right, 2018, seventh man of the year at 92.9 The Game. Co-host of the best college football show in the country, College Football Game Time. Biggest heel in Atlanta sports radio.
Oh, yes.
Self-proclaimed son of the South, even though he's a jabroni from the Midwest. We'll let you know a minimum of 3 times in any show that he is from Canton, Ohio, which you've already done 4 times today. I've been keeping count.
Yes.
Basketball and track star. Yes, I said basketball and track star for the Jackson High Polar Bears back in the day. I got the right high school. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, good, good. Known by the soccer community as Doc Soc. Constantly working on his Star 94 demo reel. Stone Cold Steve Austin spirit animal, hence the music.
Yes, yes.
President of the Wendy Corona fan club.
Oh, yes. My all-time woman crush. Yes. By the way, you forgot one half of Atlanta's favorite soccer duo.
Well, I got the Doc Sock in there. Yeah, okay. I mean, the paragraph could go. I mean, it's getting pretty long already.
That's
I still
good.
Got a few more
that's
things
good.
Here. A guy who is not allowed to park in the parking deck he pays to park in.
Right.
Does interviews with guys like Mike Vick, but doesn't get credit for
right.
it.
Right, right.
And finally, co-host with Brian Estridge's go-to color analyst, Randy McMichael.
Absolutely, absolutely. The best bowl game go-to radio guy going. Brian Estridge's favorite. Thanks, Randy. Good talking to you. There's like 4 of us. Sorry.
All right, so I'll start you off with, you know, it's got to be a Canton, Ohio question out of the gate, right?
You know that this was kind of like he wanted to take off of a Rage Against the Machine song, and he went to Jim Johnston, who is the guy who did all of the music back in the day.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's what this is kind of a spinoff of. There's actually a version of this song before this one.
There was nothing like that late 90s, God. Early 2000, when the glass breaks. I mean, there was nothing better. That was the wheelhouse of wrestling.
Half of what I love is watching the crowds just get into it. Brian, I was at the 2002 Royal Rumble. He was part of the Rumble. When that glass broke and he came down, we blew the roof off that place, man. It's what you want to see. Then he came in and threw everybody out of the ring.
All right. We'll start you off with your one favorite band, person, thing, whatever, from Canton, Ohio. The one thing that is your favorite.
The one thing that is my favorite is the local cuisine. You get a lot of mom and pop local kinds of restaurants. That to this day, when I was down in Florida with my mom and stepdad, we were still talking about all the great local restaurants we used to go to. That, you know, now everything's a chain, but all those great local restaurants, we're at Palumbo's, Kim Inn, Tim's Tavern, just all the root beer stand, all these local places that you go to.
So what's
Palumbo's?
What's your favorite out of all those?
Oh, Tim's Tavern.
Okay.
Yeah, which was fish. It's a fish place. You get beer battered fish there. Best beer. Now, in the old days, it's not as good now. In the old days, it was the best beer battered fish you'd ever have.
All right, I know you're a brown liquor guy.
Yes.
But tequila, rum, or vodka?
Definitely not tequila. Probably rum number one on that list.
You look like you had some flashbacks when you said definitely not tequila.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I've been over a bucket many times after tequila. Two things. One thing I will never drink again is Yukon Jack. I was bent over a bucket at a bar after about four shots of Yukon Jack, and I've never forgotten it. And tequila's kind of had that negative effect on my life, too.
All right, this is a rap reference, so it might go over your head a little bit. But would you rather have a house in Cali, a ranch in Texas, or 22 inches on a brand new Lexus?
I'll take the house in Cali. Yeah, I California's a great place, but you can never afford to live out there. So give me a house free and clear out in Cali, biatch.
All right, what would be your perfect toppings on a burger?
All right, so I need a medium rare cooked burger. I don't want an overcooked burger, for one. Give me a thick slice of cheddar cheese, bacon, guacamole, spicy mustard. That's and maybe some chili. I'll take some chili on it, too.
I mean, that's a pretty intense burger
there. Yeah.
By the way, I inherently just can't trust people who don't have their meat cooked medium rare. I can't do it.
Why would you order beef and then get it way overdone cooked? What's the point?
See, I'm one of those places that I've ever been to a place where they overcook it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those guys who will talk them into like a rare plus. Like, I would rather have that than overcooked.
Well, why would you go pay good money for a steak and then have it well done? What's the point of a steak at that point? Because, number one, if there was any nutritional value, you lose all of it. And two is, it doesn't taste good when it's completely browned out in the middle. The only thing I get medium, Brian, is you order prime rib medium. Because if you order it, it's already a rare cut of meat. You want it medium rare so it's still got, you know, just a touch of pink in it. But short of that, everything I eat's medium rare. I want medium rare.
I'll still go medium rare on prime rib. I mean, I like to, if it's like questionable whether I should eat it or not,
yeah,
that it looks that red, that's my kind of style right there. All right, Nick Saban or Bill Belichick?
Bill Belichick. And I say that because the NFL is such a different animal. It's so much harder to put your personnel together than it is in college. But Belichick I think he's the best defensive coordinator of all time. I think he's the best head coach of all time in the toughest league, that the best league you can be in. It's, I get it, but Belichick, I think, is the best of all time.
Favorite recent, let's say last 10 years or so, TV show other than The Walking Dead? I got you there.
The only other show that I've watched at all that I enjoy is on Showtime. That Dice Man show, the Andrew Dice Clay show.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
He's got. I don't know if he still does it or not. This was a year or two ago, but the Dice Man had a show. Very, you know who his girlfriend is. You know that Natasha Leggero is.
Oh yeah, the comedian.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's his girlfriend on the show. Very funny. And I'm a Dice Man. I mean, that's what I grew up with. Is guys like Dice. That show is very funny. He lives out in Vegas, and he is Andrew Dice Clay, you know, but the rest is kind of fictional. And his sons do come on. His real-life sons come on. It's very funny. And that's literally about the only other TV show I've probably seen more than two episodes of. I've never seen an episode of Game of Thrones. I've never sat through an episode of Breaking Bad, The Wire. You name any show that you think of, I've never sat through an episode
of. So you brought it up earlier. There's no good movies anymore because TV shows, quality TV shows, have taken over what good movies are. So we need to get you into some. I mean, you mentioned three or four right there that you need to just hop into.
But I don't have time. I don't. I mean,
we'll get you time. We'll find it.
Well, I work 7 days a week, two jobs, and be dad on the side.
Who knows how long you'll be here?
Let me tell you. You know what? Like last night. This is kind of like what I do. I'm on the porch. I've got multiple Coors Lights. If you saw, I tweeted out, I had a cigar and a 9-pack of pints. I got multiple Coors Lights out on the patio, smoking a cigar, and I'm listening to Jim Cornette's Drive-Thru podcast, where he does an hour of answering wrestling questions. And I'm listening to multiple back episodes of it, where he answers old-school wrestling. Now, I listen to more wrestling podcasts than I do any sort of TV show.
I like how you just said, I don't have any time. I spend all my free time listening to wrestling podcasts.
No, like I'm when I'm driving in the car. Like when I drive today, like I'll listen to wrestling podcasts.
Yes.
My routine is on the treadmill nowadays. Most of the time it's wrestling podcasts.
All right, moving on. Ciara or Sierra, however you want to pronounce her
Sierra.
Name. Sierra. Mm-hmm. Or Rihanna.
I have seen Sierra in person downstairs, but I will go with Rihanna because I think she's a dirty girl. And I think she's one of the sexiest women that there is. I love Rihanna. I'm a fan of her music, and I just think she is just ultra sexy. There's something about her that just really is intoxicating.
There's no wrong answer
there. But I will tell you, I have seen Sierra in person, Brian, downstairs when we were broadcasting. Brother, when I tell you she is gorgeous to the T, she is just gorgeous.
And that's what you hear about, you know, someone like that. It's like when you see her in person, it's just different. That's a different type of creature right there.
Yeah. I mean, she is just amazingly beautiful.
That's one we got to save for Randy Mack, that specific duo right there. We got to ask him about that.
Well, he's married, so he doesn't, you know, probably can't answer questions.
He will. He's all right. He's probably listening too.
Oh, yeah, she will. Yeah.
All right. A couple more here for you. And if we go late, we go late. I came up with these questions. We spent time on it. Larry Bird, who I know you're a huge fan of, or Kobe Bryant?
I'll take Larry. I think Larry's the most clutch player, or one of the most clutch. Just there's something about Larry Bird. And I still don't think Larry Bird gets enough recognition for how great of an all-around player he was. He was a double-double machine himself. People don't understand that he was the guy that get you 25 and 11 if you needed to, and put 10 assists on it if he needed to. I love Kobe Bryant, big fan. Larry's some otherworldly.
All right, two more for you. We're going to have some fun with these. Mm-hmm. Favorite former employee of 92.9 The Game?
Probably Robbie. Probably Robbie Rosenhaus. He's part of our group chat with myself and former producer Matt Ryan, the real Matt Ryan. We have our daily group chat, text chat. So, yeah, probably Robbie. I know Robbie's – I don't know if he's still listening, but he was listening. But, yeah, probably Robbie Rosenhaus because he's the go-to guy from, you know, that you can impersonate. And he'll be here for Royal Rumble next weekend. We'll go see Royal Rumble. So, yeah, I'd have to say Robbie.
I will say, too, from just being, you know, I've been here about 2.5 years now. His name comes up more than anyone else as far as previous employees here. You guys love him. He seems like such a character.
Yes.
So, Robbie, if you're listening.
He is a complete character. You said it right. He is a gimmick.
Yeah.
In the wrestling world, he is a gimmick.
All right, last one for you. Favorite catchphrase on the station that's not your own?
Oh, gosh. We've got things like hug it out. I'll tell you what. Back in the old days, when they would do some, and gosh, Jason Goff and Grant used to play some of this audio, of some of that Cordell and Carl stuff of peace out, baby, baby. Oh, my God. There's some hilarious stuff on there when those guys would do that. And when you'd hear it, it's just so over the top. But for contemporary purposes, I'll say it's a hug it out Monday. And you have to, there's some inside baseball to all of that.
And that is pick Chuckery's brain.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Good stuff. Appropriate music and everything. So should John Collins be an all-star? We'll talk about his resume and why he should or should not be. It's all next. Chuckery in the House, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
92.9.
Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game. Chuck Reed in the house with you. Headed straight to 2 o'clock. Good stuff there, huh, Brian? A little Judas Priest today. Thrashing out on a Sunday afternoon. Getting you ready for conference title games. We talked about at the top of the show about how it was a perfect scenario last night for the Atlanta Hawks, where you got some fun, you got some action out of the Hawks, but they, of course, lost 113-105 to the Celtics. Led after one, led after two, led after three. Excuse me. Got something caught in the back of my throat. Led after three and got outscored 30-14, I think it was, in the fourth quarter. Ended up losing with a little dust up in there. DeAndre Bembry and Marcus Smart had a little face off. I don't want to call it a fight because they don't fight in the NBA. It's kind of a joke if you want to call those fights or what have you out there. But it was a best case scenario for the Hawks to do all of that and then lose on top of it. One guy who's really kind of stood out this year and kind of really taken that next step forward in his second year has been John Collins. And it begs the question that when you look at John Collins and his numbers, over 19 points a game, almost 11 rebounds per game. So he's averaging a double-double. I mean, if you want to say 19 and 10 that he's averaging right now, you can't dumb your way in the NBA to being a 19 and 10 player. And you can say, well, you know, on a bad team, somebody's got to score the points and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the NBA is still the NBA. You've got to go out there and get it done. And when you start to take a look at where John Collins ranks in the Eastern Conference among guys, and you start to put his numbers up there, when you're talking about his 19 points a game, that ties him for 13th in the Eastern Conference with Jimmy Butler, D'Angelo Russell. He's just a tick behind Tim Hardaway Jr. and Victor Oladipo to you know, move up into the top 10 or be real close to. Start talking about rebounds in the NBA. He's a guy that right now in the Eastern Conference is ninth in the Eastern Conference. And when you start to shake out the frontline players of the Eastern Conference, so many of those guys are top guys are centers. Yeah, you've got Blake Griffin. Yeah, you've got Giannis, the Greek freak. But that's your main power forwards that you have. Everybody else, you know, Vucevic, Embiid, Drummond, Cantor, Tristan Thompson – those guys are all centers, you know, in the league. They're not necessarily the power forward. I understand why the All-Star game, you know, position doesn't really matter. That's why they break it out into front court and back court. It's not really important, you know, how many of this and how many of that. But certainly it lends itself that for a guy who is one of only seven guys in the Eastern Conference that is a double-double, averaging a double-double, John Collins has put himself right prime in the idea of being an All-Star for this year. And we were talking about right now, the All-Star game coach is some guy named Mike Budenholzer. Remember him? Going your way back machine when he was the Hawks head coach. I would not be surprised at all if John Collins makes it, and especially if Mike Budenholzer is the guy who's coaching the All-Star team. If nothing else, maybe as a little bit of a take that to the Hawks to say, hey, remember this guy? Because I drafted this guy. This is the guy that I drafted when we were here. But you can make a case that John Collins has been the best story that the Hawks have had this year, even more than, say, Trae Young or any of the rookies, you know, Hurt or anybody else. The fact that John Collins has made such a big step forward year over year, I think, is a testament to how good he's been. Now, the knock will certainly be when you talk about all-star viability for John Collins is the fact that he's missed a third of the season. He's missed one-third of the regular season, 16 of 45 games that this team has played. He's missed. Remember, he had the injury and didn't get started. So that may be the thing that if you want to point to something that says, you know, whether or not he makes it, but you can't deny the fact that the guy has been an averaging a double-double. Last night, 15 points, 11 rebounds last night. I would tell you, if you're talking about a guy in the league that's 2010, I don't care. And I know that was always the knock on Kevin Love, right? That Kevin Love, well, you know, he puts up all the points and rebounds on a bad team. Somebody's got to do it. And I don't think Kevin Love got enough respect for how good of a player he was in his prime, because Kevin Love was 25 and 12. You just can't just phony your way to those numbers, 82 games in the NBA. You just can't do that. And for John Collins in his second year, even on a bad team, to be 19 and 10, because you start talking about who are the guys that you begin to take away. I mean, with all due respect, Kent Bazemore has not been any sort of factor whatsoever in Atlanta Hawk that you game plan for him. And Trae Young is a rookie. That Trae Young shows you those moments where it looks really good, and then he shows you moments where you scratch your head and you say, geez, I mean, can this guy play at times? That's the rookie window. You're going to get that. But John Collins is developing himself into a legitimate NBA top-tier type of guy, especially at the position that he plays. I really hope, and I think it would be a really good thing, if John Collins finds his way on the All-Star team. And like I said, if you have Mike Budenholzer that is going to be the coach of the All-Star team, it would not surprise me at all if that's a selection that Budenholzer would make. And I think it would be very well earned and achieved if he gets that, you know. And, you know, the other thing I was thinking about the Hawks is we were talking a little about this on the midday show the other day when it was John Michaels and I hanging out when Rick was sick, was it is interesting how much love that you are seeing given to Luka Doncic already. If you saw the comments from about a week and a half ago of Steve Kerr when they played Golden State, the Dallas Mavericks, and Steve Kerr talking about this is an all-star player. This guy should be on the all-star team already. He's an all-star caliber player. And Steph Curry talking about how good he is, Draymond Green. You know, those are some guys that throw out compliments like manhole covers. That's not something that those guys do. So when you get those kinds of compliments, it was a little bit eye-opening just from the standpoint of the only comment we've really gotten about Trae Young out of Steph Curry was let him be his own player and let him find his own way or whatever like that. You know, it wasn't, hey, this guy's going to be great and all this kind of stuff. That it was, hey, let this guy make his own way and don't compare him to me and all that kind of stuff. That's a lot different to, hey, this guy is an all-star level player already and looks like a difference maker. And I think the fear is when you get into some of this thought process is Trae Young could be a very good player. You know, I would tell you that Trae Young, to really be the player that this franchise needs and to make that pick legitimate, if you will, is that he has to be at least a three-time all-star. He has to be at least a three-time all-star to make that top five trade as valuable as what it should be, which is very possible. Trae Young looks like a guy who can be a big-time scorer and lead this team in assists as well. So I don't think that there's an unreasonable expectation for that to happen. My fear isn't so much that Trae Young can't be a really good player. My fear is Luka Doncic becomes a generational-type player, that he becomes the next Dirk Nowitzki, that he becomes a guy that is an elite-level player and really transforms the Dallas Mavericks into a championship contender very quickly, and is the kind of guy that other really good players want to go around. Now, there's already advantage because Mark Cuban, the owner, and all that surrounds that organization, it's a sexy organization to want to be a part of. And if you're a player, that's a good organization that you want to go to. But you also want to go to an organization that's going to win. And if you're a guy that's top level, you want to go to a team that looks like they're ready to win and ready to take that next step forward to win. That could be Dallas with Luka Doncic. And that's my only fear is, did we get a really good player or did we get a generational player? Because at some point, like it or not, Atlanta Hawks are going to have to find a generational type player if being a team that was legitimately an NBA title team. We got the right ownership. You know, I think we've got the right guy, GM and Travis Schlenk, but now we've got to get those elite level players. Now we have to find that next guy. So I hope the Trae Young thing, I hope for Hawks' sake, the jump that John Collins has made this year from year one to year two, that's the kind of leap that Trae Young needs to be. I would very much like to see Trae Young be a 20.8 assist type of player. And say what you will about Dennis Schroeder, but Dennis Schroeder was, you know, an 18-8 player his final year here in Atlanta. You know, that's the guy that you're replacing. And so, you know, that I'm hoping is the next step forward for Trae Young, is that he is a 20-8 kind of guy. And maybe that's a lot in his second year. Steph Curry didn't make those big of leaps that quick at times, but that comes with the expectation. And that comes with, are we going to be a championship contender sooner rather than later? All right, our buddy Jason Longshore joined us earlier in the show. A lot of notes about Atlanta United. We'll talk to him and hear that interview coming up next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studio, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Me and the boys are playing.
Jason Longshore joins us here on the waitfor.com hotline on Twitter, at Longshoe, our color analyst for all things Atlanta United. Good morning to you, Jason. How are you today?
Good morning. Please don't ever do a song for me. I'm begging.
That's true. Yes, yes. I agree. I do have one more in the pipeline that I am considering, so we will see how the season starts off. By the way, we're going to try to get Jason in, hopefully next weekend we'll get him in, and we get Randy back from riding scooters out in California. He can come in and hang out with us, and we'll get you ready for Atlanta United. So, Jason, several things I want to ask you about. Let's start with, because I haven't talked to you in a while, Frank DeBoer and the announcement earlier, what was it, Monday, that we got the announcement and official announcement, and everybody was out at the station. What, as a casual fan, if anything, will be different about the way this team looks under DeBoer versus what they look like under Tata?
I don't think it's going to be dramatically different. I think the biggest questions are really more about chemistry, just because it's a different person leading the team now. And he has a different personality. You know, you're talking about two very different cultures as well, from Argentina and from the Netherlands. So that's the only question, and I think that's pretty common. Anytime you have a new manager, a new coach come in, you wonder how all the pieces are going to fit together. Every coach sees a group of players differently. Is there somebody that he really sees and likes that Tata Martino didn't play as much? Does he see a player that started a lot that maybe he looks at differently? You never know until you get into the season, but I think style of play, it's going to be pretty similar.
This may sound like kind of a ridiculous question, but, you know, from a communication, language barrier, you know, age difference, I mean, does any of that stuff kind of matter? I mean, is there any of that that really plays into success or failure in this?
It absolutely can. I think in this case, the differences are Frank DeBoer is more fluent in English than Tata Martino was. Obviously not as fluent in Spanish, but he is comfortable speaking Spanish. He played in Barcelona. We've seen clips of him going back and forth in training sessions and in conversations with the players very comfortably, you know, no problem going back and forth between language. So that's one thing that's a little bit of a bonus here. The age difference is a thing. You know, I think a lot of players looked at Tata Martino as kind of a father figure, and you're not going to have that with Frank DeBoer. He's a little bit younger. DeBoer's a guy like Tata who is very comfortable on the field, jumping into a training session, knocking the ball around. So that's going to stay the same. I think it's just down to personalities. You know, it's two very different types of personalities between Tata Martino and Frank DeBoer, and we'll see how the group of players adjust.
Jason Longshore on the waitfor.com hotline, color analyst for Atlanta United. Obviously, the other big story, Joseph Martinez gets a five-year extension. I always joke about with contracts, whether it's, you know, in the NFL, what's your dead money number? If you're a coach in college, what's your buyout? I mean, those are the things that really matter. When you talk about a contract like a five-year extension for a guy like Martinez, you know, how legitimate is it that a guy lives through that contract, that stays here all 5 years? I mean, obviously we know what he's done, you know, these first couple of years in the MLS, but what's the reality of a five-year extension for a guy like that?
That type of contract's a big commitment, and there's always the chance. I think with the world of soccer, you know, you're not talking about 30 other teams who could be interested. You're talking about 100. You're talking about 150 in five different countries that could be interested in wanting to bring Joseph Martinez in. But I think that type of commitment, and we don't know the salary figure attached to it. That'll be public when the players' union issues that this spring. I think it does narrow that bar a little bit, especially for the next few years, about which clubs would be interested in making an offer. I think it lowers that number dramatically. The biggest thing to me is this means Joseph Martinez wants to be here, and I think he's completely comfortable being in Atlanta. I don't know if he's had a place like that in his professional career, to be honest. He went to Switzerland first, and that was a jumping-off point for him in Europe, and that was the plan all along. And then that led him to Torino in Italy, and it didn't go very well there. He was played out of position, didn't really get on with the fans, and we've seen that difference here firsthand.
Expand on,
I think he's happy and comfortable.
Expand on just a little bit when you talk about – I mean, I understand what you're saying as far as limbing and stuff like that, but is it sort of I don't know. Let's say an unwritten rule that if you've got a guy under contract for a bunch of years, that it's not kind of proper protocol to want to pull that guy, or is it just all about, hey, if you're willing to pay the big money transfer fee, contract be damned?
It's honestly the latter. I mean, if a club comes in and wants to pay a fee that Atlanta United would agree to, then they assume that contract. And that's the biggest thing here, is that that contract is a long one, longer than your typical, and probably a pretty lucrative one. So that's going to narrow which teams would be willing to take that contract on. Because a lot of times when you see a transfer, and it's part of the conversation around Miguel Almiron, you're going to see that player get a new contract and an improved contract. This is a big contract to begin with. So I don't know how many teams are going to be willing to take that on, and on top of a big transfer fee.
Jason Longshore joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, color analyst for at Atlanta United, catching up with him on some news and notes here with Atlanta United. I keep reading a lot about this Deion Pereira, if I'm pronouncing his last name right. He's been with the under-23 club for, is it Watford or something like that?
Right.
A lot of people saying that this was an under-the-radar signing. It's a guy who maybe even could one day be an MLS All-Star type of player. What do we know about Deion?
He's interesting because he was named Watford's Young Player of the Year a couple of years ago at 17. He's made a couple of appearances in the Premier League, but he's primarily played in the second-tier reserve league. They do their reserve teams a little bit differently in England. They have a separate league completely for them, unlike our USL, where
yeah, they
United
do everything different over there. That's why we had to break away from them, Jason. They just do
you know,
things,
yeah. it's
I don't even know how to drive on the right side of the road over there. So.
But Pereira, hopefully he will learn how to drive on our side of the road. That'll be good. The good thing for him is he's a player who thrives in 1v1 situations. And that's something that Frank De Boer's system and what he wants to see. He likes to see his wingers be in a position to take players on 1v1. He likes to create those opportunities. And Pereira is a guy who fits into that model really well. And what's good for him is he comes here without any major expectations to step straight into the first team. He can take some time to settle. He can play with Atlanta United too and earn that time as he goes.
Jason, last thing for you. Where do you think we're kind of at with Miguel Almiron as far as, you know, does he play a full season here in Atlanta this upcoming season? I mean, what do you think his status is as we're obviously in camp and moving closer to actual matches taking place?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. This transfer window for the leagues that he's being linked to, their deadline is January 31st to bring players in. So the clock's ticking. There are clubs that are interested. Miguel's agent has talked about many different countries and clubs who are interested. But you're running out of time. I don't think he would be here for the full MLS season. If he gets through this window, there's not an offer that Atlanta United wants to take. The summer window is a whole different scenario. I mean, think to it where if you're in the NFL and you're looking at upgrading your roster in the off season, it's wide open for you. You have, you know, tons of different options. You can change things. You can go in different directions. That trade window time, that's where you see teams who are desperate make moves. And that's kind of where you're at right now because you're mid-season in Europe. So it's a smaller number of teams who are going to do it, and usually they're operating out of desperation. And in the summer, you're going to have managers change. You want to change things up. You're going to have teams who are looking to build for the future. It opens up the window. So if he gets through this window, I think the summer window is where he would go. And I do think Atlanta United is going to get the number that they're talking about. think it's going to be $30 million plus, because this is that type of move for Atlanta and for Major League Soccer that will change the way the transfer market works for them. So Atlanta has to hold firm to getting maximum value here. And I think Miguel and his agent and everybody is on, you know, on the same page with that. You're not seeing any friction.
Yeah, and I think, would it be fair to say, try to get the league to look at finding those hidden gem young stars rather than the Roonies that people say, well, you know, at 36, he's finally coming over here to play, or Beckham or any of those kind of guys.
Yeah, it changes the conversation. I think you'll see, if this move happens the way that we're all expecting, I think you'll see Robert Kraft in New England, for example, who hasn't really made these types of signings for the Revolution, say, well, I'm watching what Arthur's doing down in Atlanta. Maybe I should follow that model. I think there is a place, though, for your Roonies when they come over. I mean, he got a lot of attention for a team in the Washington market that nobody was talking about. So there was a point to it. You just have to back that up with the young players after that. Once you get that attention, then you have to think about building the team and being part of this transfer market, because you're looking at Atlanta United potentially tripling their investment that they put in Miguel Almiron. That's just good business.
Yeah. On Twitter, at Longshoe, he's our color analyst for all things Atlanta United. Jason, we will see you here in person very soon. Thanks, my man.
Thanks.
Don't forget, we're your home for SB 53 in the ATL. Make sure we get that in as many times a day as we possibly can, our on-air phrasing. Going to wrap things up. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, getting out of here, getting you ready for NFC Championship game coverage. Sports Radio 970. You're home for SB 53 in the ATL. It is 9-2-9, the game. Oh, yeah. Going to rock and roll all night and party every day. Gotta love it. All right, about to hand it off to NFC Championship game coverage. 3:05 will be the kickoff. I guess go Rams, huh? I'm still staying with, I think it's Patriots and Saints in the Super Bowl today. I think a much better chance in the AFC title game for one of those teams, but I just don't think the Rams are going into New Orleans and winning that game today. So even if you get up on them by a touchdown or 10, they've shown they can find their way back. So it's a resilient team. They got the home crowd. It's going to be rocking in there. That place is going to be loud and rowdy in there. So should be interesting stuff. We'll have all that coverage for you. And, of course, tomorrow, Team Have Not Takeover. We start in the morning with myself and Rob Tribble. I got a promo I'm going to cut on Twitter, and then it'll be rocking from there. So tune in tomorrow morning. It won't be freaking Hugh. It'll be the two-man power trip, Tribble and Chuckery. All right, be good. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Bye. Beaver, that's quite a lot. And you drive us
wild, you drive you crazy. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.